Here we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to be in your house, Lord, giving us enough health and strength and energy, Lord, and above all the desire, knowing it's a necessity to come to worship together and so much more as we see the day approach, knowing also that there lies strength and stability, there lies that love and that unity, Lord, that coming together, O God, that we are assembling ourselves for the purpose of knowing your word, for knowing you, for knowing each other, for knowing, Lord, the things that are coming to pass that presently, Lord, and how we are involved within them. In fact, we are that which is coming to pass, Lord. We are your word, Lord. We're written epistles, human flesh, O God. We thank you tonight, Lord, that it's all of grace, and we appreciate that so much. Now be with us as we study thy word a bit. Be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we won't take much time tonight because we're going to have to sort of build up into where we have a little more ability to endure. And I'll just read a little bit tonight, starting in God is identified by his characteristics. And that's a sermon Brother Branham preached in Beaumont, Texas. Characteristics, dealing, distinguishing trait, feature, quality or peculiarity, helps to identify because it is peculiar to that thing. So you see what a characteristic is. It's a distinguishing trait, some particular feature, some quality, some particularity. It helps to identify because it is peculiar to that thing. So when he talks about God's characteristics, he's talking about what is peculiar to God, and strange to say, very peculiar to people. It's not peculiar to the peculiar people, but it's peculiar to the peculiar people. All right, if you're over here, we're reading in the second page. Now, I wonder if we would stand up. You don't need to, of course, while we read his word from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. The reason that I ask you to stand is in honor of this word. I believe the word is God. In the beginning was the word is with God, and the word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the theme of our campaigns. Therefore, when we read his printed self here on this Word, we stand. Now, I want you to notice the phraseology there, because if people get a little confused, you know, about, you talk about this being the Word, and that's God. Well, that's right, and it's not right. See, it's beyond the sacred page. Like one time I said, this book is no different than any other book. So that's right if you're going to talk about a printing press. When you talk about contents, then again, it's a little different from some books because it's philosophical, spiritual, and needs revelation. But when this book is revealed, now that's something entirely different. See, we're dealing with a different thing there. Then so now you watch what he said. Therefore, when we read his printed self here on this page, we stand, as we stand in tribute. And so what he says about this then, his printed self here on this word. And so he calls this like God in print. a printing of the Lord. When we pledge allegiance to the flag, when our flag passes by, we stand in honor of our flag, our nation, we should do it. Then how much more should we stand when we read the word of God, Hebrews 1:1-3, as we read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Let us pray. How many now, with bowed heads and hearts, would like to be remembered in prayer, that through this meeting somewhere God will grant your request? Just lift your hands, and the Lord will see your hands. Our Heavenly Father, so far as my human eyes could see, there was a complete mass of hands. Surely Brother Green's revelation, my desire to come, was right. Now, Father, give them their desire according to thy word and thy promise. We commit them to thee, and may our lives be so fitted with the word that the word will become flesh among us and will give the people faith to draw from their account in heaven, which Jesus settled for them long ago for their sins and sickness as they are in their journey. Bless us now, we pray, as we wait on thee to reveal to us thy word and make it flesh among us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you notice in two times he says, make it flesh among us. So, a little quote back here. Put my hands on it. Oh, my. It's got to be from harvest time. The Son of Man revealed. The Son of Man is the Word living itself again amongst the people. He also says about the same thing in the token. The Son of Man is the Word living itself again amongst the people. So he's asking here that this Word come to life. This Word here come to life. Now, lying here it is. That's just the printed page. That's just God in the print, you might say. It's a printout. But when it comes to life, in other words, what is said and put in here actually begins to form itself amongst us, or literally take on what you might say its manifestation, its performance, then what is that? That's the Son of Man revealed amongst us. He's saying, therefore, may the Son of Man be revealed amongst us. Now, I would, if you would just try to, don't move around any more than you would possibly help. I mean, getting up and going to just 45, 50 minutes, something like that. Now, the thing is this, we want to know what is truth. And that's the only one truth that I know is the Bible. Now, God is going to judge the world someday, we believe that. And each one of us mortals is going to be brought into his presence for judgment. Now, of course, remember that there are different judgments. And when you speak of the bride cannot be judged because the sins have been sent on beforehand. There's no way she can come into the judgment. She's there judging with him. So this would be, I believe, like returning the bride where Brother Branham speaks of the presentation, where he saw men being presented and so on. And they were able to give a testimony, what have you, which is more what the Bema is actually like. It's going to be brought to his present judgment. I have a few notes written out here, the scriptures that I want to refer to in a few minutes. Now, remember, if I should ask tonight, is there a Catholic here? Yes, they'd say, and, well, what will God judge the world by? They'd say the Catholic Church. And I'd say back, what Catholic Church? They disagree. There's plenty of disagreements. One's Roman, the other Greek, and Orthodox, I think it's Chaldean, and so forth, and other splits. We have plenty. If I'd say the Methodist would rise up and say he'd judge it by the Methodist Church, well, if that's so, then the Baptist hasn't got a chance. And if he judged by the Baptist, then the Methodist doesn't have a chance. Now, right there, of course, you would not think that that was a very correct statement, because these people, when it comes right down to it, though they'd have to take their stand with their denominational corruption and their word that they have, gone astray on, they would have to show charity and say, well, they really do believe this and we believe that, and that's really the thing that counts, so maybe over here. And yet they're fighting like cats and dogs, because the Baptist will tell the Methodist the reason he backslides is because he hasn't got an anchor. And the Methodists will tell you flat, if the Baptist backslides, he's going to hell. So, happy days are here again. It's one beautiful dogfight going on. And not calling anybody a dog, but let's face it, there's a bit of a ruckus being going on. But you know yourself that you've apologized for your doctrine. If you've been saved any length of time, like I have been, I've had to apologize for my doctrines. Well, the Pentecostals are sure going to make it because they spoke in tongues, but there's some good Baptists, and I think maybe secretly they spoke in tongues when they didn't know it, and we named some cases. And he'd be saved, he'll be all right, And, it's just very charitable. Ah, charity. Sweet charity. But because, remember, one little misquoting of the word, one, not all of it, just not all one verse, just one little iota of misbelieving the word caused every death, every sickness, every sorrow. Now, that's a literal true statement. I mean, I don't care where you go or where you come from or where you're trying to go and trying to get back or anything else. In other words, it matters not to me about anybody's position. That is a true statement. That did it. I don't care what anybody else says. That did it. Because you see, the thought was the parent to the act. That was Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, if all this cost that for just one lady misunderstanding the word, she didn't do it willfully. She was deceived. The Bible said deceived by the word caused this all. In other words, she was deceived because she didn't understand the word, and it caused it all. Then you and I are not going back with anything less than the entire word. Now, watch that statement. See? If that did it, then you will never get back with anything less than the entire word. See? In other words, the word is what kept them there. The word in its entirety, the word in total without misconception, any misplacement or whatsoever, it kept them there, see? And just as soon as they went off, that same word forced them out. Now listen, they didn't go up by themselves. You never saw a cockroach leave an apple pie by itself. They didn't go out of the Garden of Eden by themselves either. The word is what put them out. See? Now, I want you to notice also that, and this is something that's interesting, in the light of Brother Branham's constant repetition of the word of the hour. How much word of the hour, or how much word did they have? Well, I don't know. They were getting it. They were absorbing because they're in the presence of God and having conversation, communion with God. And he said, now you can eat all of this around here, but there's one thing you better not touch. You better not touch what I'm telling you not to touch, or you die. That was the word of the hour. Now, she misunderstood that word. So, I want to just take you back now to Luke, the first chapter. And it says here about John the Baptist, the presenter, the forerunner, the explainer, the expediter of the one to bring the true word. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he, John the Baptist, shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And disobedient does not mean disobedience as a willful act contrary or a willful non-act, so the person doesn't act. It means misunderstanding. So the misunderstanding back there, also there was a misunderstanding when Jesus came. See, the kingdom was back there, because God was reigning over these people. It was just marvelous. Now there's a kingdom coming in sight again with Christ on the scene. John said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's there to deliver them from misunderstanding, showing that Brother Branham is right, that you will never get back unless the word is right. Now everybody wants to get right. And they're talking about blood and propitiation and experience, and I'm not against it, but I got a Bible that says this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men won't take the light. And that's when the sacrifice was completed. You'll notice that you can never, ever get away from the word light. I don't care who you are. So you might as well just buckle down to it and understand what Brother Branham said is the truth. Now, I believe the Bible says that he won't. I don't believe God will judge the world by the Pentecostal church. In other words, he said, I don't believe the Bible says anything about the Pentecostal church judging the world. Now, let's understand this. If the Pentecostal age were the last age, and it was the finality of the revelation, then what they brought forth would judge the world. Now, let's face it, if there's a message in this hour and we've got it, this message is going to judge the world, and whatever is not of it is going to die right here. Well, that's what happened in the first place, it's going to happen in the last place. because after the judgment and the destruction, we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden. He won't judge by the Methodist, Baptist, or Catholic. He'll judge it by Jesus Christ. He said so. And Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. And the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he's telling you right there that here's the judge. All right? Now, you know and I know that the judge must know the Word because he can't make a decision. We saw that back in the time of Moses. Moses was the lawgiver, and the Word was there, and you must not do anything on the Sabbath. So they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and he was going to make some food with it, make a little fire and cook something. And so they said, now, isn't there something here that's amiss? So they brought the man to Moses. And Moses was a prophet. Now, he'd already given the Word. See? But he went to God and he said, now, what are we going to do? Well, they had to put the man in quarantine and then you stone him with stones till he died because he broke the Word of the Lord. Now, you see, they couldn't possibly let the man get away, because then he would have been an example of his disbelief and willful disobedience, flouting that in the face of God, so that God would become a mockery. Now, when you say here, Jesus is the judge, and he is the Word, that's what it is. The judge is the Word to the people. And let's just take a little look at this over here in John, the 5th chapter. John, the 5th chapter, in 22nd verse, where the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And 26, for as the Father hath given life in himself, so is he given to the Son to have life in himself. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he's given the Son to himself. And they've given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Son of Man, what's that prophet? All right, what's a prophet? One to whom the Word comes. Not only does the Word come to the prophet, but he is a revealer or an interpreter of whatsoever comes. So therefore, Jesus is the Word, and the revealer and the interpreter, the manifester and the prover, so therefore he's going to be the judge. And that's true, he will be. Now, the whole thing is the great eternal. Eternity never did begin and never can end. Therefore, in this great eternal one were attributes, to be Father, to be Son, to be Savior, to be Healer. All these things were in him, and the only thing that's happening now is displaying his attributes, that's all. And what was it in the cloud? He was a judge. So, what do you do? Brother Branham categorically stated. He said, now you ministers, he said, the people can come to you for ask questions, and the ministers then, if they don't have the answer, go to Brother Neville. But he said, you got to have an answer, and Brother Neville doesn't know, you come to me. There's a prophet. The prophet then is the living Word of God to the people, made manifested, just like the prophet said in the Feast of the Trumpets. All right? So, the only thing that's happening now is displaying his attributes, that's all. Now, he's telling the people right here that something is going on. And they're going to say, well, we know something's been going on for years. Our great Pentecostal heritage, we began speaking in tongues back about 1906. And we prayed for the sick. We've had tremendous meetings. In fact, we're revolutionizing the world, turning it upside down. We're the fastest growing, soul-winning organization that there is. And, well, I'm not going to argue with them. It's just they're not right. See? God's displaying his attributes this hour. Now, our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And when the Word strikes that, if it's any light there that's been ordained to life, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. All the Father gives me will come to me. So you see, it's the Word constantly, the Word, the Word, the Word. Well, over here in John it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So if that little light wasn't in there, now remember, that's what came out of God first, and that's what came and divided the Pentecost. And that little something in there in that seed form that's down in the soul, that inner soul, if there's something in there, it's a little bit of light. When the Holy Spirit strikes it, you watch that begin to fan out and go right toward God for eternal life. Now, that's what you're born with, you come into the world with, and if you didn't have representation back there before the world began, you don't have it now. If you weren't in Him back there, you aren't in Him now. There's just no way. So it's word, 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 word. Now I want to speak tonight upon the subject, drawing from a context out of this text we read. God is identified by His characteristics. And that's certain things that make you to know what's there. Identification marks. Now, most everything we find can be identified by its characteristics. That's true. See, people, you can't see a gas, but I'll tell you one thing, you can identify it by its characteristics. What smells like rotten eggs? Sulfur dioxide, right? Am I right in that? I think so. Sulfur, sulfur. Yep, I think it's sulfur dioxide. One of the sulfur, anyway. We used to make that in school and test tube, and then they wave it around. Everybody, hey, open the windows! Now, we know this. Like in animal life, you take like in bird life. Now, a yellowhammer, when he's flying, and a jaybird look a whole lot alike. But the characteristic of the yellowhammer, he flops his wings and drops them up and down, up and down. That's the characteristic. That's of the flight. That's so his flight pattern can help identify him if you see two birds at a distance and you don't know which it is. Now, what's a jaybird? The jaybird flies more in a beeline. So you got one up and down like this, up and down, then you got straight across. And so you know that. What do you call them here? They're white and black. They're not crows, but they're magpies. They're hard to hit because they have a wavering flight. Yet there's a fellow used to shoot and then demonstrate for the Dominion. Ammunition company for Canada. And I was a kid, man, that fellow, he could just raise that gun, bring that fellow, that thing down in a hurry, that magpie. You watch the quail when he comes up, the Bob White, how he flies. Watch the Gamble's quail when it comes up, you hunters. You see, there's a difference. Watch the jacksnipe and the Wilson snipe. The characteristic determines what he is. A great chief standing on the mountainside, if he had his back turned, the back part of the rump is white, the other part is gray. If you didn't know the characteristic of that sheep, it could be a deer, see? See, you have to know the characteristics of them to detect what is and what it is not. Many things we could go on telling you about animal life. I guess that's why people go out and get killed by some of these hunters that don't know what they're looking at. They couldn't tell the farmer's mule from a deer. I guess till he got him home. Then we come to human life. The characteristics between man and woman. There's a difference. They're both human beings, but the characteristics of the two sexes detect them. I was reading some time ago about one of the problems that was put to the test of Solomon by the queen. She had women dressed like men. Solomon had them walk and do a few things quickly. He said, those are women. Well, you can tell women by their walk. Most of them have a sort of a swivel hip, and there's nothing in the physiological makeup of a woman that makes her walk that way. Yeah, that's what I read now by doctors that know what you're talking about. She's literally no different from a male, and she could walk like a man, but she doesn't. She won't do it. That's part of her characteristic. But, you know, he talks about this, the women dressing like men. What about the book that was a Tom Sawyer when he ran away? It was a Huckleberry Finn dressed up like a girl. And so he sat with he went down the riverboat and went to a certain town, and he came in acting like a girl, and the woman thought right away, that's a little boy runaway. That's no girl. So, well, she said, sit down, honey, and whatever the name was. And she said, I bet you're hungry. Here, catch this. And so she threw an apple, and right away the boy brought his knees together. She said, I thought so. She said, little girl spread their skirts, she said. They pulled their knees apart. That's why they catch apples. And so that's something I learned. I guess Mark Twain's a much smarter observer than I was, and you can see I'm no Solomon. No Solomon. So He said, now those are women dressed like men. Solomon had them walk and do things. That's women. See, because he could tell the way they did that, the characteristics of those were women. There's something about it. You can't hide it. It's a woman because her characteristics denote her to be a woman. In other words, she'd have to be... she'd sure have to practice a long, long time from a baby to ever get rid of what's in her. Just neither could a man be any different. It's just like right hand and left hand on people. They're both people. You watch. One of them is right handed and the other left handed. Watch the way their characteristics detect them. You can tell whether they're right handed or left handed. See? Yes? You can tell a baby you can be left or right handed. You just put the child down. Watch which foot you put forward first. You know, he hasn't come to the. You know, you can. Without knowing how he's doing things with his hand or not. There's certain things that. that they will do, but that their right-handed child will not do. And yet they're the only people in their right mind. Because, you see, the left hand works on the right mind, the right hand works on the left mind. So, therefore, they're the only people in their right mind. I'm sure that's the reason that it's that way. You know, I'm just kidding, of course, there. I might drop a little something here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in the last days, the two spirits would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Now, that would tell you right there that the two spirits would have the characteristics so close and so many, so alike or the same, that you would have to have a source of knowledge to detect it. Now, what he's doing is showing you that there's characteristics that instantly will let you know what's what. Now you're coming to a place where, no way, it's just not that easy. It's going to be quite tricky. Now, that's just like looking at right hand and left hand. Both got thumbs, fingernails, small fingers, middle fingers, so forth, index, all different fingers. They both have thumbprints, one just turned one way from the other, both same print, made the same way, thumbprints. Everything is identical alike. The only difference is the characteristic of it. Well, that's true. There's just something about it, though, that gives it away. One is left and the other is right. That's the only difference. And that's just the way the spirits will be in the last day. They will. Just the characteristic of it will detect whether it is of God or not. So therefore must be some way for people to judge the spirit. There must be some characteristic that is different about the one from the other. One of them will be right and the other will be wrong. You'll only know it by the characteristic of God. Just perfectly, it'll have to be that way. Well, because God's a spirit. What's the other spirit? See? But right hand, we'd say, is right, and left hand was wrong, or vice versa, one of them. They're determined by their characteristics. Only can you know it by its characteristics. So there's a standard somewhere to judge the spirit. As Israel was in his journey coming up out of Egypt, and I was illustrating here, and then this doesn't get maybe to the point as hard as we'll get later on. As Israel was in his journey coming up out of Egypt, now God was with Israel. He had showed them a great sign down there, sent a prophet to them, and identified his written word. And as he brought them up, we watch his characteristics, how he met Moses, and the things that he did. Now, how did he meet Moses? Met him in a burning bush. The bush burned not. Then right away he met him on the word. Took him right to the word. And what was the word? It was the word of the hour, a word of promise. And on his the road up, that's on his road up, they came to another nation, which was Moab. Now, Moab was a great nation, now not a heathen nation by any means. They were Lot's daughter's children, and they were believers. Now watch the two nations. One of them is a recognized nation, and the other is a sojourner. And what do you think, why is Israel recognized today? See, that's what all the squabble's about. Those Arabs, the Israelites, they're not going to recognize Israel. Now, Egypt has done a little bit about it, and a couple others, but actually, according to the Word of God, Israel's not numbered with the nations. What's she doing there? You know, you've got some people so strong in Israel that are conservative that they say that this is not right. God's not in this thing because God is going to deliver and make us a nation, not these Zionists that made us a nation. But the point is, you see, the wrath of man will praise God. And God's using the Zionists. There's no problem. They're back in the homeland, but they're right. God's going to deliver 144,000, that nation born in a day. See, they don't know the word. They didn't know the word back there, and they don't know the word now. And they would never come to a Gentile to find out. Well, that's perfectly fine, you know. One recognized nation of the sojourner. Now they come to the place that this great nation of Moab lays right straight in the line of their path of duty. Now, listen carefully. Listen to those words. Their path of duty. You say, well, that's no path of duty. That's a great, oh man, that's a privilege. That's a hallelujah, you know, milkshake. We're getting to the promised land, milk and honey, and all the goodies. Now, he said line of duty, the path of duty, to go to the promised land. See? Look, two nations, each had a prophet, too. One is a great teacher and prophet, Balaam. Other was Moses. Now, Balaam comes down to curse Israel. Now, right there, you see, you got a characteristic. See, that spirit's the wrong spirit. But you watch now, watch how closely they are united in their thinking. Now notice both of them, absolutely fundamental. See, common ground, but still a difference. See, the prophet fundamentalist from Balaam, build me seven altars, that's exactly God's number, offer each altar a clean sacrifice, a bullock, as Balaam's doing this now, which is exactly the same sacrifice they had down in the camp of Israel. And he said, upon each altar also offer a ram, speaking of the coming of Christ. And down in Israel they offered the same sacrifice. Same altars, same God, but one of them was wrong, the other right. Well, that's enough to blow your mind when you're on the fundamental lineup. This Baptist, he believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Methodist believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, Pentecost believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, and speaking in tongues. Roman Catholic believes in the blood of Jesus Christ plus the Pope, plus Mary, plus about everything else. I don't know why they just don't make up prayer wheels. Go in their prayer wheels. If I had to have their religion, I'd just go back and be a Buddhist or something. That's not the ones that blow in a prayer wheel. That's the Lamas, the guys over there in the Siam, Thailand, wherever they are. Be much simpler. How do you remember which one, which saint you're going to remember on each day? Just pick your own favorite saint. No, same altar, same God, same sacrifice. See, one wrong, the other right. Now, the only way you could tell which was when it come fundamentally to the word, both of them are right. Now, what do you think of that? But you see, one, his motives was wrong. He was trying to cut off his brother from the line of promise that God had given him. And that's the denomination will do every single time. When a man says, I think I see something, I'm going to go goodbye, they do their best to hog time and hold him down and make him two-fold child of hell. Say, well, brother, God bless you. You see light? Praise the Lord. Tell me about it. And if I don't see it, you go tell somebody else. Now, you'd have to be inside an institution for the insane to say that. You couldn't be in a church, or at least not very many of them. And if you did, they'd call you insane anyway. Another thing, the prophet of Balaam was fundamental, but the prophet Moses was identified by the characteristics of God. There was a pillar of fire, supernatural light hanging over them. There was great healings in their camp, supernatural God showing supernatural signs. They were staying exactly with the word of promise that God gave Abraham back in the time that both nations started. But now Moses had Abraham's promise going to the promised land. Now, you notice, he's talking about that time back there. That wouldn't hold today. Because you can see Pentecostal men like Oral Roberts and some of these mighty, wonderful men of God that God has raised up. And they've duplicated just about every single thing that the prophet William Branham had. Except they couldn't duplicate the vision that thus saith the Lord, and taking every spirit under his control and get the picture taken with the pillar of fire. They couldn't get caught up with the ring of angels. There's enough identifying characteristics, you see, but then again, people say, well, that's not God. Oh, yeah. Now, Balaam was also a prophet of the Lord standing down there, and the only way that you could identify, not from their fundamental teaching, but by the characteristics of God. See? Same with Brother Branham right today. What's the word for the day? The word for today is Malachi 4. No, they don't want that. They say that's for the Jews. Well, I just robbed the Jews, brother, sister. They ain't going to get it. There was a sound of a shout of the voice of the king down there with Israel. The atonement was in effect, a brass serpent, a smitten rock. Well, that's right today. But you see, it's not effectual if you're off the word. And God was with them, identifying himself in a supernatural light, healing their sickness and diseases they went on. Now, that wasn't happening down there then, but it's happening today. But they don't have the light, though. The characteristics prove what he was, staying in line of the word for that age, for the age that they were living in. Now, he's illustrating it, see? Coming up to our day. God's characteristics identified himself with Moses, see? The characteristics of God identified with Moses the pillar of fire, the atonement in action, the supernatural, smitten rock. They also had the brass serpent, speaking of healing, and then again they were in the line of duty of the promise of God. That's the word for the hour. The line of duty then was to go down there and get into the millennium. The line of duty right today is to line the sun and get into the resurrection. See? The line of duty today is to rest on the promise. To follow the word. Again, God's characteristics are not natural. God's characteristics are supernatural. because he's a creator, he is supernatural. And when God's characteristics begin to display themselves, or itself, it's so unusual to the modern thinking that it throws them off the line. They cannot understand it, yet he never gets away from his promise. God in all ages, I've said a lot of the word. Now, this, as I said before, is where the fundamentalists and most people have their greatest problem. They simply cannot believe this real stinger that Brother Branham throws out, that there's a word for every age. They say there's one word for all ages, and that's it, period. Now, they evidently don't understand prophecy, because there is a word of prophecy concerning ages, and certainly the atonement and those things hold, but they don't know wherein lies continuity and wherein lies disruption from the continuity that takes them away from the continuity of what is truly fundamental. Now, you didn't get that, but I sure hope you did. What I'm trying to tell you is this. There are certain things that hold true. The blood of Jesus Christ is always the blood of Jesus Christ. The baptism is always the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But when you do not receive the word of the hour, in other words, what God has prophesied for that age in which you live, that which is continuous, and you think you've got a hold of it, as something continuous that saves you, you haven't got a hold of it at all. See, now, I just tell you what, Brother Sith, you're not going to beat the Word of God. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he tells you what that's all about. And this is the condemnation I'm talking about. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. In other words, the Word of God goes into darkness. All right, now then, when the light comes, they turn it down flat. So the continuity of the atonement and the baptism, though being there, is nullified. See? Word of the hour. Let's just take, for instance, one. There was Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now he's engaged to this young lady, and they were to be married. But then before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost. Now we all believe that if we're Christians. We must believe that in order to be Christians. That's the Bible. You've got to believe every word in the Bible to be a Christian. Now, because if the Holy Spirit is in here, and he pointed himself in his heart, it'll punctuate every word and every promise with an amen. All right? Because now Joseph was a just man, he was a good man, and no doubt Mary told him the visit of Gabriel and how that she'd be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and was to conceive and bear a son, and his name be called Jesus. Now, he's not saying this is the future tense. He's telling how the angel came and said the Holy Ghost is going to do it, and the Holy Ghost already done it. How she must have told that to Joseph, and Joseph could look in her, little Brother Branham's a very romantic person, and Joseph could look in her big brown eyes, and he could see the innocence of it, and he wanted to believe that. And he wanted to believe with all of his heart. Yet it was too unusual, and he was minded to put her away privately. Now, he's telling you how things work out with the angels of God. When the Word comes on the scene, and we've come to a juncture, turned a corner like we have today, well, you say, well, that I'd like to believe that, but man, that doesn't line up with us. Well, isn't that great? When did God ever line up with us? Talk about hogwash. What he did, he died for us. And we line up with him. Now, if a man is sincere in it, God will make some way to show that man that it's truth. He's obligated if you're sincere. If you see it and walk away from it, then you're to be judged. But if you're sincere and see the truth, okay? Let's go back here to Hebrews again. 6th chapter, and he said, now these things which we have spoken, no, that's the 8th chapter, no, I can't read the 6th, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go to perfection. Alright, we're going to go to completion, the whole thing is going to be over, it's all over, polished, all finished, nothing more to go. Not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and faith toward God, a doctrine of baptism, laying on the hands, resurrection, dead, and eternal judgment, and this will do God permit, the blood of God didn't permit. For it's impossible those who are once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, and partake of the Holy Ghost, and taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away. Not if they shall fall away, having fallen away. They won't take it. To renew them again to repentance, they'll never change their mind, but they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now there's your baptism. There's your blood. What have you done? You've thrown it out the window. So you see, the continuity
although lining and still in continuity, is not in continuity with fundamentalism.
Isn't going to work. Now, we were reading this scripture here. Now, Joseph was just minded. He said, it's so unusual. That's the way today, that good people, good men, fine men, good-charactered men, fine ministers, many of them, priests and so on, are good men. But the supernatural vindication of the promise of this day is so unusual, it throws them off their balance. All right? What do we got for this day? Acts, the third chapter. And it says in the 22nd verse, well, we read the 19th, repent ye therefore and be converted, did send me blood out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, that's proclaimed in advance, whom the heavens must retain until the time of restitution of all things, the restoration, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, and the word began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he said unto you. And it will come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Now, how does Samuel's names get in this? Well, we're further down the line. And that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, it tells you right there that at the end time, just before the coming of Jesus Christ, you're going to have a change through prophetic ministry. And they're going to come along and they're going to say, well, now, I'll tell you one thing about it. That man, William Branham, is sure full of the Holy Ghost. But after they said he's full of the Holy Ghost, then they turn him into a devil. Most remarkable. That's people for you. See? It throws them off balance. It does that because it's displaying the characteristic of God. Now, right there, we got a characteristic. That whatever God does is so unusual, it throws the fundamentals right off of balance. Can't take it. See? How many men seeing a fire like Moses? What would they have done? Well, who knows? Hardly they would have done what Moses did. Now, Joseph, rather than being a just man, not willing to make a public example, he couldn't believe it. He tried to. But while he thought in these things, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him. Now, God doesn't always have to speak in a dream. See, because a dream would take a prophet unless it's a literal dream. He can reveal himself. Now, listen how he does it. He reveals himself to you by the word and shows you that it's right. If you're sincere enough to look into it and see if it is God's characteristics that's displaying itself, but always in every accord with the promised word. Now, I never did get fully convinced of Brother Branham until I went to the Bible and began matching things up. When I became an adherent and began to understand that he had the infallible ministry for this hour, of course, I was looking at the scripture and watching him, then I went right to the word for that time on everything and began dovetailing. See? So God can speak to you through the word if you just let that word, you know, give it a chance. Why? Because the Spirit of God takes hold of this printed page. If this is God in print, or a printout of God, which would be like, you might say, a blueprint, a delineation, a description, an understanding, although perhaps not understood, you let the Holy Spirit then, that wrote this book, begin to reveal it to you, or then you become convicted, absolutely, see? Another thing, the Word of God always corrects the error. You believe that? The Word settles it. When God vindicates that Word, it settles it. Now, that's just one, in my mind, I'd like to think. Now, Brother Branham was talking about God vindicating, and he's going to vindicate this hour. Now, what did God really vindicate? God vindicated the message of William Branham. Now, I'm not perhaps telling you that I'm right on what I'm going to say here, but when Brother Branham said there's going to be a quick, short message come out of the West, I wonder if that wasn't the rapture. Because he went the furthest west in Arizona he could possibly go, which was Yuma. And in there he preached the rapture. And it was a short, quick message, a short, quick work that came out of the West. And that ended it all up because that put the whole thing right down. And it told you before the devil could do anything about it. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you know it or not, you are already into it. She said, it started. She said, he appeared down there in the river. We couldn't catch it. Took the rapture tape to put the whole thing into perspective. God vindicating the rapture. I believe that with all my heart. Because that's the hour for it to get out of here. Now, that's just one in, let's just think. We won't talk too much because we want to pray for the sick. Jesus being the Word, the Bible said He was the Word. We all agree with that, that He was the Word. Notice, when He was 12 years of age, now we have no record of Him going to school, but a little 12-year-old boy about so high, the day his parents, Mary and Joseph, went up to the temple, up to worship at the Passover. And while they were up there, they started back home after Passover. They had a 3 days journey that they could not find Jesus anywhere. And finally, they found Him after 3 days looking for Him in the temple, disputing the word of God of those elders. And listen to Mary now. Now to the people that take her to be a goddess, look, you see, the woman was deceived in the beginning. And watch her here. If you ever noticed it, watch this. She said, thy father and I have sought thee with tears. Notice, she condemned the testimony before those priests that she testified of. And she said, he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And here she called Joseph his father. Now watch that little 12-year-old boy being the word for that hour. He was the promised word for that hour, the anointed Messiah. That's true, he was. Word of God in flesh. Watch what he said. Know ye not I must be about my father's business? The word cracks the air. See, the super and the supernatural, the 12-year-old child. I do not think that Jesus understood what he said. But he was the word, and the word cracks the air. See, he corrected his mother, rebuked her in saying so. Now, if it had been his father's business, he would have been at his father, if Joseph was his father. And his father was the carpenter, they tell us. See, now, the word corrects the error. The other day I said it helps. To correct something is to help it. Many people take correction as though it were a rebuke, a put down, and a libel, and some kind of sullying of the character. It's not that at all. It's something to help you. And so the word helps you out. But her all tore up and excited like Eve was, and influenced why she said, your father and I have sought you with tears. He said, don't you know ask me about my father's business. See, the word is corrective. It corrects the error. And if the error is corrected, you've been helped out. You got along fine. Satan made a mistake when he tried to tempt Jesus, but he came back with his own word and defeated him with the word. The word of God. Now, in other words, now you notice what God uses his own word in every instance, and nothing can God ever use outside of his word. And so that makes that word pretty important. So that God uses his word and nothing but his word in every instance. And this was even a place of temptation. How much then should we be impressed to use the word of God? That's what the psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart. I might not sin against thee. God, the Bible said here, in sundry times and divers manners identified himself to his prophets. He spoke to the fathers through the prophets. He was in the prophets. That's the Bible. Now, showing his characteristic of identifying himself, see the man. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke in the prophets. The prophets, their visions vindicated, was God's characteristic made known by the prophet's vision. That's in Amos 3. Well, get back over here. And it says, shall the trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil come in this city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And then you people take the right out of the Bible. They say, well, you see, the Bible's written. Well, you say, then all right, then tell me some of these things I don't understand. Yeah. Now, no man can explain the vision. There's no way of doing it. It's supernatural. It's something that you see what has been, what is, and will be. And that was God's way of sending a man that spoke those things and showed things that would come to pass, not just tonight, every night, every time. Everything he said would be perfectly with the Lord, had to be the word of the Lord. Now, Brother Banner's telling you right there, what you saw in the other nights, you're going to see tonight, and you're going to understand that this is the characteristic of God. In other words, how you identify whether God is here in the meeting or not, and what spirit it is. And he takes them right back to Deuteronomy 18, is what he's doing. Where there is a prophet, thus saith the Lord, and the people are to listen to him, but they don't do it. Now, by this, gifts and callings are without repentance. You can't make your eyes brown when they're blue. You can't make yourself 6 foot when you're 4 foot. And who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? We are both of us what we are by the grace of God. Now, gifts and callings are without repentance. These prophets were born prophets. Moses was born a fair child. Jesus was the Son of God from before the foundation of the world, the attribute of God. Jeremiah 12, 712 years, I believe it was, before he's born. He was the voice of, no, I beg your pardon. He was ordained a prophet to the nations and was sanctified in his mother's womb and ordained a prophet to the nations. John the Baptist, what I'm thinking of, being 712 years before he's born, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. See, it's God placing. He sends a man, takes the word of that age, but now before you can believe that word of that age, he identifies himself in his characteristics. See, by knowledge, by vision, he told things that would happen and it happens. And God said, when that happens, then you believe that he has the interpretation of the word because the word of the Lord comes to this man.
Now, you see, people don't want that. They say, well, we don't have prophets. We don't need prophets to interpret the word. Our pastor will do it for us. Now, he can get so far, but he can't get any further than the word of the hour, what's been revealed. See? When that happens, then you believe that he has the interpretation of the word because the word of the Lord comes to this man. And his credentials he has identified by being a seer in the Old Testament, just as plain as can be. His characteristics is identified, made known, his character. Now, people who claim to believe this is the Bible, the God who wrote the Old Testament is the same as the New, they suddenly forget that there's prophets to interpret the word. They say they believe the Bible, but they don't. They turn it down. Now, that's how God dwelt in sundry times, the Bible says, in divers manners. He spake to the fathers through the prophets, because he was in the prophets. But in this last day, through Jesus Christ, his Son, he speaks. Now, Jesus said in John 10:37, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Now, you see, now watch, get the two put together. Now, that's how God dealt in sundry times. In divers manners, he spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But in this last day, through Jesus Christ, his Son, he speaks. They say, well, where is he? Where is he? And they think a body of flesh. You know, hands, feet wounded, side, brow punctured. But he says he speaks. Then he tells you how he speaks. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. So now then, if you see the same works done, then I'm doing it because I'm going to talk to you. And they say, well, just a minute now. No. And women preachers are my pet peeve. Because my wife and a woman preacher did me out of $1,500. I said, I'm going to put a mortgage on that building because they owe me wages. She said, oh, no, you can't do that. So they stole the building and they gave her the money. She went down to the island. And when she shook, she knew she had something. She said, Brother Faith must be getting better. You're as rotten as ever. No, I'm not rotten as ever. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care. Stand up here. I'm not going to tell you lies. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, that's the understanding. God in some sundry times, he spoke through the prophets, and now through the Son. And they say, there it is. It's all over. We heard him. We had him. Say, well, all right, what about the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews? See, did you refuse not him that speaketh? He hasn't stopped talking. If they escape not to refuse him when he spoke on earth, much more shall they not escape if they turn away from him, from the one that's from heaven. Well, what was from heaven? His body wasn't from heaven. So he's here in the form of the Holy Ghost. And the prophet's work proved absolutely that the one that's doing the works through the voice of the prophet is going to give us the message through the voice of the prophet. God's characteristics. So they said, you're a man, you're making yourself God. Well, what else could he make himself? He was. See? He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. Now he said, John was a bright and shining star. You like to walk in his light for a season. John said, I must grow, he must increase. He was light of the world because he was vindicated, identified word of flesh. See? He was God with us. The prophets were God with them. Jesus said so. He said, if you call them to who the word of God comes to, gods, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? See? So where are the word of God that's been spoken by God is vindicated, or advindicated, going on, like Jim said, Jim Mayfield, then there is God making himself known by his characteristics, fulfilling his word. He needs no interpretation. It's already interpreted itself, proves what it is. What's God's characteristic? In dealing in this subject, he said, I want you to know, I'm telling you how you can know that God is right here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and everything going on is the Son. Man, the Son of Man, reveal the Son of Man ministry right back here on earth. We're playing a role, we're playing the drama. And this is the word. You can tell by what is being done. You know before your eyes, you've got to believe what's being done. It's never failed once. The word has never failed. Then what I'm telling you is the word of Almighty God. Now, the two spirits are identified. Something's going to come against it. From then on, you're going to look at, you can see the spirits will be identified. Because here the Spirit of God is identified. There's another spirit out there that's so close. And just like Moses had the pillar of fire and all those things down there, and they had part of it down here, and it looked pretty good. Looked like the fundamental. Why, you can't say a thing against the fundamental. Fundamental is it? Blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Water baptism. Who cares as long as it's done? We're on our way to heaven. Come up against this. Come up against that. What are you going to do? It tells you how God ever did it, and God's doing it right now. That's what he's saying. God has identified. Take it right through the Word. It's proven. And that's how it is. Well, page 9, verse 61. I'm quitting early because it's time to quit. I'll show your eyes at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness to us tonight. We come together again to study your Word, to see how that you did these works through man, and you spoke through man, God identified by his characteristics, God present. One of the prophets said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. The gates of hell are against it. People still don't want to believe God in a prophet in a different way than God in human beings, like the rest of us. The pillar of fire hovering, man talking face to face, absolute vindication, the perfection of knowledge, we, Lord, believing, yes, believing every single word, not understanding perhaps, inadvertently getting it out of our mouths wrong, some little cue here or there, but Lord, we know one thing, the Word will crick the air, you're the Word. You're on the scene, Lord, here tonight to bring everything into line in a bride. And we, Lord, are going to get back to Eden. What kept them there is what we've got now to get us there and keep us there. We believe you're truth, Lord. We believe you are the truth, the way and the life, all of us in it. And it's just so good, Lord, to be back here with the people. Comfort us, help us, O God. Lead us, guide us, direct us. May the grace of God, which is abundant, be more abundant still till each one of us walks in the light, walks with each other in the light under the blood, sharing in love and in fellowship and the Holy Ghost, Lord, until it just becomes, I almost said a dream come true, but it becomes the Word of God come true into full manifestation in a living, loving bride, a living, loving Father. The whole thing of God. Father, into thy hands we commend ourselves tonight as we go to our various places to have rest in what whatsoever. Oh, Father, remember the prophet prayed, never let the people forget the blood that stands there as an atonement for sickness. Lord God, tonight, as John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. We have the same prayer for each one of us tonight, Lord God, that sweet spirit coming into the church, Lord, we believe absolutely is here to be manifested and healing abounding. We thank you, therefore, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for everything, Lord God, that you've laid out before us. And we cannot thank you enough. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, all right, is anybody sick? I'm not too well myself. Come on up and I'll pray for you. You know, Jesus was dying on the cross when he prayed for a dying thief. So I'm up here as a dying thief praying for more dying thieves. Anybody sick? Come on. Everybody okay? That's fine. Take